Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, you know the drill, I would like for you to stay with me. Please do 30 minutes now of motivation, inspiration, some education, and without any manipulation. No hidden agendas. We're not trying to sell anything. We're not trying to ask you to join anything. We're not going to ask you to give up anything. What I am going to ask you to do is listen. Listen as I try to accurately present the truth found in the Word of God, the Scriptures. Yes, it's a show about the Bible, but maybe unlike other shows that you've heard, because we don't rant and rave and jump up and down and holler. We're just here to give you the information. If I can verify and identify the plan of God for your life, then you have the privilege and the opportunity to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But my job is always to get it accurate, to be as accurate as I can. And therefore, we use the original languages. We go to as much in depth as we can, doing each verse line by line, word by word sometimes, in an exegetical form. Exegetical, where we exegete the word, see how the word was written, what it meant then, what it means today. How we'll form categories out of certain verses that we look at. For example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know the verse. Well, you have the doctrine of God, the doctrine of love, and the doctrine of the world. And so we have God, theos, love, agapao, world, cosmos. And so we could develop these doctrines, each one of these. I could teach you at least, 20, 30 hours on each subject, and I'm not even a well-qualified pastor. You get a man that really knows the languages and understands how to do this, he can develop the doctrine of God in ways that you've never seen. Just like my pastor did many years ago, when he taught me that God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, he's immutable, he's veracity, that God is eternal life, love, that God is righteousness, sovereignty, and justice, part of the characteristics of God. And I had to learn those things, just like you need to know those things. And when we learn these things, we can use them in the faith rest drill. Problem-solving device number 3 on the flat line of your soul. And if we use the sovereignty of God as a biblical rationale to relax and not worry, or we use the justice of God, like if someone maligns you or hurts you in some way, you turn them over to God. You let God handle that. And that's using the justice of God rationale, where you don't have to worry about anything. So as you learn, for example, just about God, or you learn about the world, or you learn about love and the different types of love, you know, problem-solving device number 6 is personal love for God. Problem-solving device number 7 is impersonal love for others. If you've heard me teach that, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't heard me teach that and you would like to hear that, 2 things I can do for you. Number 1, we have a book where all the Christian problem-solving devices are listed. Or number 2, we can offer you a MP3 series. And that MP3 series would have all 15 radio shows that list all 10 problem-solving devices and deal with those. But you need to learn those. You need to understand those. This is not something unique. It is not something different. It is age-old biblical truths that were put together in such a way so that this explains how the Christian life operates. We can't make the rules up. We can't just dilly-dally through life and try to impress God with our human work, with our good deeds. We have to follow a plan. There is a process. God has a plan, and it's called protocol. And it says a right thing must be done in a right way. God honors protocol. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, you must learn the plan. If you don't learn the plan, you're going to go to heaven. Yes, you're going to have eternal life. Yes, because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But when you get to heaven, you're going to realize what you missed, how you blew it, how you had an opportunity to glorify God to the max, but you didn't do it, because after you accepted Christ as your Savior, then you went merrily off down the my way highway, and you put the Bible aside. You never learned it. You never took time to explore it. You never stayed filled with the Holy Spirit. And you lived your Christian life out of fellowship, under discipline. And that might explain why you went through as much suffering as you did, because God was trying to get your attention. We started several weeks ago a show on understanding your soul. And understanding your soul, we covered three shows already on that, and this is going to be show number four, on the real enemies of the soul. Now listen carefully. You are an invisible living soul that will live forever. Your body will go back to the grave. You will die, and your body will turn to ashes. However, listen to this. You're going to get a resurrection body. Wherever that body is, when Jesus Christ our Lord returns, that body will resurrect from the grave, and you will have a resurrection body. And this is the body that you'll have forever. And your soul will inherit that new body. Right now, your soul's in a sin-infected body. Your body has a sin nature. I didn't teach you how to sin. You knew how to sin inherently. You knew how to lie. You didn't take lying 101 in grammar school. You knew how to hate. You knew how to be jealous. You knew how to be vindictive. These are all traits of the sin nature. You have a sinful nature. Your body is infected with a sinful nature. You got it from Adam. And that's why the Bible says, for by one man sin came into the world. And that's why sometimes you can seem like two different people. You know that. Sometimes you're good to go, and sometimes you're a mess. And you want to know why? Because you let your sin nature dominate you. You do not stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says if we'll walk in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So your soul has mentality. Your soul has volition. Your soul has a conscience. And it's inside of your soul the real you is found. You are what you think. That's what the Bible says. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So it's not God's not impressed with your image and your style. God's impressed with what you think. If he wants to check you out, he'll look at your thought process. He'll look at your motives. He'll look at your intentions. He'll look at your desires. Yes, he sees your failures, and he understands why we fail. We are sin-infected. But he also knows our motives, our desires, and our intentions. So keep that in mind. So when we're talking about an enemy of the soul, the first enemy that you must identify, there are actually four enemies: sin, arrogance, evil, and emotion. Sin, arrogance, evil, and emotion. Now say it again. Sin, arrogance, evil, and emotion. But I want to deal with sin, and I want to remind you, you have three enemies. You have the world always out there, you have the devil always out there, and you have the flesh always in you. So what does this do? Well, the world will distract you from ever advancing spiritually. If you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the world will do everything it can to pull you off of the path. And that path being the road to maturity, the road to becoming a mature believer, the road to glorifying God to the max in your life. And so the world will distract you. Business, marriage, family, social events, whatever. Anything to keep you away from the Word of God, to keep you out of church, to keep you away from growing, to keep you from studying, anything. The devil will use the world. And your flesh has a natural affinity for the world, because your flesh enjoys what the world offers as temporal happiness. So the world is a major distraction for most Christians. But also we have the devil. We know that he's there. And we know that the devil is a deceiver. And so for the Christian, what he's going to try to do is to deceive you spiritually into believing something that's not true. For example, he may tell you that you're not eternally saved, that you've done something bad since you accepted Christ as your Savior, and God's mad at you, and now you're not really saved anymore, and you need to make it up to God. Well, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. You can't make it up to God. You didn't earn it to start with. The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should brag about it." And so you have eternal life, compliments of the grace of God related to the finished work of Jesus Christ, His anointed Son, on the cross, where He was our substitute, where He paid the penalty for our sin. Now that's the truth. Now if Satan may come along and say, 3 years ago you had an affair, or 4 years ago you stole something, or he'll bring all this old stuff up. And then he wants you to think, if I was a Christian, I really wouldn't have done that. He's a deceiver. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to doubt God's plan. And he will send people that will be ministers, people that have wonderful sounding language. Now, Jude calls them filthy dreamers, but they teach false doctrine. They teach a lie. Here's the biggest lie that floats around our universe today. Dream big. You can live your dreams. If you want your dream, you can live your dream. Don't quit dreaming. You've heard all of that. Listen, God's plan for you is so much greater than anything you could ever dream up. You would be embarrassed if you could see it on a movie projector. You dream up what you think would make you happy, but God has something that will give you a superabundance of happiness, more than you could ever imagine. And it's not about people or circumstances. See, that's what most of our dreams are about, that people will make me happy. If I could just find the right man, if I could just find the right lady, if my kids would just be the right people, if I could just win the lottery, if I could just whatever. People and circumstances don't make you happy. See, that's the false doctrine that the world lures you with, the prosperity concept. Let me tell you something. God has a plan. It's a wonderful plan. He has something that He wants you to think. He has something He wants you to say. He has something that He wants you to do. He has a place that He wants you to be, and He will provide everything you need to fulfill the plan. But if you get deceived by Satan, the first thing he's going to do, once he realizes, like you're starting to listen to this show and you're starting to grow and you're starting to understand some things, you're starting to realize who you are and how the plan of God works, he will deceive you. He will send a minister, a mouthful of teeth along, a big smile, and he'll pay attention to you and pat you on the back and tell you how much he loves you and how much they need you, and he will take you where you do not need to go. He will lead you into things that are not true. The Bible's full of these warnings. 2 Peter warns about it. Jude warns about it. Paul warns about it consistently with Timothy. Stay out of that. Follow the example I laid for you. So Satan is a deceiver. The world is a distractor. And your flesh, it's a destroyer. Your flesh will destroy you. Your old sin nature, if you allow it to take control of your life, even though you're a believer, even though you accepted Christ as your Savior, if you allow that to happen, you will go under warning discipline from God. You will go under intense discipline from God. And there's even dying discipline from God. This is all seen in Hebrews 12, 6 through 13. Link that up with Proverbs 15:30, and you will see it. God does not play games. You do. He doesn't. So the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the flesh produces that sin we're talking about. That sin. Sin is whenever we step outside of the plan of God. Sin means to do anything that's missing the mark of God's plan for your life. Sin is you deliberately doing the wrong thing, or maybe not doing that which you know is right. For example, if you went to one of the grocery stores and you gave somebody a 20 at the cashier, and she gave you change for 100, and you look at yourself and you think, I didn't give her that much money. And then you think, well, this is my lucky day, and you put it in your pocket and stroll out. You just sinned. You stole. You didn't do the right thing. So that's sin. Sin is any thought, any word, any action that violates the character of God. It violates the standards of God. And God warns about sin. In Genesis 4:7, he gave a big warning about sin. It is not true that if you do what is right, you will be fine. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to dominate you, but you must suppress it. Genesis 4:7. So God is perfect justice, and he's going to hold us accountable for our sins. In time, all sins in eternity are paid for. So when you get to heaven, there's not a movie projector, and God's not going to put up the screen and invite everybody to have some popcorn and watch what an idiot you were. That's not going to happen. When you get to eternity, remember this, that all sin is paid for. We have what is called my position in Christ and my experience in Christ. In Christ, I am positionally free of sin. In my experience, I sin every day. So God deals with my sin. All of my sin and yours is a matter of my decision, your decision. It's called our volition. We choose. We make the choice. Sometimes we don't even realize we're sinning, but we chose it. It's difficult to accept this. And sometimes we don't understand it. But not even the devil can force you to sin. He can't. Only you can choose to sin. God knows the devil didn't make you do what you did. God knows you chose to do what you did. Satan could have enticed you. The world could have distracted you and lured you. But your sin nature is what will destroy you. So God is not going to accept any plea of ignorance or insanity or it's not my fault, God. Only the lack of the knowledge of the Word of God in your soul could prevent you from recognizing sin. You must recognize sin. You must learn God's Word. Sin comes in three ways: something you think, something you say, or something you do. You have mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, and overt sins. And so the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. Refusing to learn God's Word is a sin. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. If I am mandated, as I am in that passage, that's a command. If I'm mandated to study God's Word, if I'm mandated to grow in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as I am in 2 Peter 3:18, if I disobey the mandate, I sin. And so when I fail to grow spiritually, then I am sinning. I am in reversion. I'm going backwards, not forwards. Some people say you're sliding back. You're a reversionist. You're going backwards. Even though we are spiritually alive, the minute we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we still have a sin nature. We still have the flesh. It's still inside of there. And the Holy Spirit cannot control you if the flesh is in control. You have got to learn how to turn the flesh off. So how do you do it? Well, sin doesn't begin with the sin itself. It begins with the lust to commit the sin. And that goes back to the very first principle about sin. You want to do it. You choose to do it. Every sin we do starts with a thought. And what did I tell you? God has the ability to see your intentions, your motives, and your desires. And so every sin we do starts with a thought. So if we take our volition, the chooser, the decider, and we go negative to God, not positive. In other words, we don't say, yes, sir, God, I will not do that. We say, no, sir, God, I'm going to do that. Well, then when you do that, when you turn your negative volition into a sinful action, you have turned your back on God. Now, here is something I want you to always remember. Don't ever forget this. When you turn your back on God, He just loves you from behind. He shines on your back. He loves you from the front, and He loves you from behind. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dear friend, I urge you, as foreigners and strangers, those that are not citizens of this earth, to keep away from the desires of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." Yes, war against your thoughts. Just because Satan and his demons are your sin nature, zing these unacceptable thoughts into your mind, it doesn't mean you have to do it. It doesn't mean you have to retain it. It doesn't mean you have to turn every temptation into a sin. See, that's what a temptation is. A temptation is a thought process. And so when you think it, you know, that doesn't mean you're sinning. When you have a temptation, when that thought comes into your mind, that zinger goes in, your mind and your soul will tell you it's wrong. Don't do that. And then your volition must make a decision. It's as simple as that. If you use positive volition and say, "Yes, I will not do that. I'm kicking this wrong thought out of my mind," that's good. You will defeat sin. But if you say, "I'm going to dwell on that wrong thought, and I'm going to do what that thought is telling me to do," then you will sin. The Bible's clear in 2 Corinthians 11:3. "I'm concerned that just as the serpent completely deceived Eve by his cunning craftiness and the misrepresentation and skill of deceit, just so perhaps your thinking could be corrupted from the noble fidelity and virtue which is in Christ Jesus." So the only way that you can defeat the ingenuity and stealth of Satan is to have the Word of God in your soul. The only way you can defeat the old sin nature destroying you is to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. So if you take the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is problem-solving device number one, rebound, and you put with it problem-solving device number four, biblical orientation and grace orientation, then you're going to be able to not only avoid the sin, but recognize it and see it for what it is. You can know when Satan is distracting you. You can know when Satan is tempting you. So if you have consistent study of God's Word, this is where I go back to a well-qualified pastor. Consistent intake of the Word of God. There should never be a day, and I'm going to repeat that, there should never be a day in your life that you don't feed on God's Word. And that doesn't mean you pick it up and read it and put it down 2 or 3 minutes later. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about you being fed by a well-qualified pastor. A person who has studied it, can teach it, and you have a notebook and a Bible, and you sit down with a cold cup of coffee, a hot cup of coffee or a cold drink, and you listen. This is what I do every day, I assure you. Every day, I sit down and I listen to my pastor teach me the Bible. Consistently learning God's Word gives me the ability to recognize, to capture, and expel the wrong thoughts when they come into my soul. Just like I could capture and kick a burglar out of my house if I caught him trying to steal my possessions. The thoughts inside of my soul and your soul are much more valuable than possessions that we have. Our possessions will decay. Our homes will fall down eventually. Our furniture will rot. Our cars will break. The possessions disappear. But our soul will live forever. And so we keep it uncontaminated by avoiding sinful thinking. We have to concentrate on this principle, because if you don't understand the principle, sin will defeat you. God doesn't punish anyone for any sin because Christ was already punished for it. Listen to me carefully. God doesn't punish you for your sin because Christ was already punished for it. All sins, both of the unbelievers and the believers, were judged on the cross. God doesn't punish you for the sin but he punishes you for allowing the sin nature to take over your soul and not following his mandates. Now, your sin's been paid for. That's why you can go to heaven. That's why you have eternal life. You're not having to pay for it yourself. But what you can get disciplined for is your negative volition. His punishment hurts. It's designed to hurt. If it didn't hurt, we wouldn't wake up. We wouldn't recognize what we've done is wrong. And we would continue a life of misery until we have an untimely death. Through sin, we choose to place ourselves outside of the plan of God. And therefore, he warns us about the consequences of ignoring and even defying his will. Here it is, Romans 6:12. Do not let sin reign in your physical body so that you obey the lust or the desires. And stop using the members of your body as weapons of wickedness under orders from the sin nature. But place yourself under orders to God as those who are alive from death. That means we're identified with Jesus Christ. And your members, that's your body, as weapons of righteousness to God by means of executing the spiritual life. Only the Word of God in your soul, only the Word of God you've metabolized, that means you've learned it and applied it into your life, only that provides the divine solutions. And those are the only solutions that will work in your life. Human solutions are no solutions. Divine solutions are the only solutions. So we cannot, we will not ever glorify God to the max unless we identify and recognize sin in our life. God hates sin. Proverbs 6:16-19. And sin is recognized throughout the Bible in many different ways. Sins of mental attitude sins, like arrogance and self-pity. Sins of the tongue, like gossip and lying and slandering. And overt sins, sins like fornication and adultery or drunkenness, even murder. These are all talked about in the Bible, and they will all break fellowship with God. And that's just the tip of the garbage. Think about it. I got so much more to tell you. We have to come back next week and tune in again, please. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.